everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
NBA game winners. All Paul George does now is hit daggers. And Luka Doncic, part of a 42-point triple-double. NHL Law and Order, the sucker punch to the head, not as bad as the spit to the face. And an NFL question, are the Chiefs still it, Chief? Let's go.
You better believe it, Jack.
You guys couldn't see it, but I was spitting all over the place. Really popping my peas today.
I heard it, though.
Good sign or bad sign that the Chiefs can win a game when their offense is as ordinary as it was last night? And another question for you, national panel. Bad sign or bad sign, Phillip Rivers has gone 3 pick, 4 picks in the last 2 games. Chiefs 24, Chargers 17 in Mexico City. KC had 310 yards for the game. Third time this season they've been that low. They were only that low one time last season. Clinton Yates, first to you. Are the Chiefs still the Chiefs?
I think the Chiefs are still the Chiefs, but there were a couple factors at play that aren't going to let me get too far ahead of myself in terms of what that chiefdom is. Number one, the conditions of the field there changed very much, I think, the way their offensive attack worked. They relied on a lot of speed between Tyreek Hill coming out of that game. You saw guys falling all over the place. That changed things. Secondarily, Chargers get a Charger. On Monday night, these guys don't do jack. And so when it comes to beating an opponent in a tough spot, when the Chargers are your opponent, I'm like, okay, we'll take what it wants. But the timing got back on board for Mahomes, which is what was most important. Bienemy getting him back on track. I think he looked good when he got that touchdown to Kelsey. So
like Sarah Spain, are the Chiefs still the Chiefs?
The Chiefs are a version of the Chiefs and a different version, which was interesting. We saw Mahomes do what he usually does in a loss to the Titans, and we saw him do the opposite in a win against the Chargers. Neither of those are great teams, but you can look at the W as a positive here. The Chargers only blitzed him on 1 of 37 dropbacks. He had a career low in passing, a career high in rushing, so they kind of eliminated the things that the Chiefs most want to do, and they still got a win. Again, the Chargers, not a great team, so I'm not going to use this as a blueprint going forward, but I do think there's something to be said for the Chiefs being able to win in ways that they're not usually winning and how you could take that forward into games against better teams.
Is Ruth Gutierrez, KC, still KC?
Yeah, that's where I take it. From Sarah's point is, what are the Chiefs? Are they a one-trick pony that can only win a game when they score 40 points? Or are they a team that can win multiple ways? And this was a perfect example of that. You saw in the first half, they didn't look great. And then you throw in the conditions of the field. You throw in Tyreek Williams being gone. And all of a sudden, it's like, what are they going to do in the second half? Well, not only could they go to Travis Kelce, their number one option, when everybody knew he would be their number one option, still found a way to do that, but Patrick Mahomes ran some more, had a career high with his feet, and that not only tells you they can win that way, but he feels good physically, and I think he showed that.
They can win that way when the opposing quarterback's giving the ball away like Rivers did. Jackie, let me ask
taking
you the same question.
Taking it away.
Are the Chiefs still the Chiefs?
Yeah, you just stole my lead, though.
Oh,
the Chiefs are playing against the quarterback.
Sorry.
Yeah, but threw 4 interceptions. If you can't win a game when the opposing quarterback throws 4 interceptions, then I don't care who you are, because you're going to be in trouble. You got to win a game like that, and that's what they did. I think we all have to be a little patient with Mahomes. I don't think he's 100%. I don't know how he could be. Maybe he won't be the rest of the year. But, boy, I wouldn't bet against him in a big game ever.
The Chargers, ever. From playoff win last year to Rivers, his interceptions are multiplying. Do you believe the quarterback is the problem with this team, or is it something else, Israel?
I don't think it's the sole problem. I do think you're at the point where you need to start having the discussion if Phillip Rivers has, how much he has left in him, right? Because some of those throws, a couple of those throws looked like they just needed a little bit more air under them. They weren't very good. And then one of them, he just didn't see a defender. And you talk about how many times did they run the ball? They didn't run the ball a ton. They did use their running backs in the passing game, the short passing game, but they didn't run the ball a ton. So they're relying on Phillip Rivers. And if Phillip Rivers is going to throw four interceptions, then yeah, you have to discuss whether this is an issue. Over the bigger picture, I'm not sure if you can say flatly, hey, Rivers is done, but it's a discussion you have to start.
I'm trying to diagnose what went wrong with this team. This team won a playoff game last year, Sarah Spain. This was supposed to be maybe the last window for Phillip Rivers, but is that window closing?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not all on Rivers, but he's 23rd in QBR. His passer rating has gone precipitously down from last year when they were much more successful. His mistakes, and they could be fixable. It might not be the end of the road for him, but his mistakes right now are killing them. 7 interceptions in the last 2 games. Like Izzy said, there is eventually going to have to be a succession plan here, but I'm not ready to retire Rivers just yet. I think he could have another year or two if he improves on what's obviously going wrong here.
Glenn Yates.
Year two doing what, though? I mean, we're talking about a guy who openly said, we don't really need Melvin Gordon to start the season. Well, they didn't start with him, didn't start that well, and now they're not on the same page offensively. So you've got to wonder, is he, as a leader, the person you need everybody listening to? That's not a knock on who he's been. It's just about the effectiveness. His timing on the picks was the issue here. He throws one, they go back and score immediately. It was every time they tried to get something started, he was making the botch. He is the issue right now.
I hear you. I mean, are you questioning his leadership? Is that what you just did, Clinton Yates?
No, I'm just saying that I think that they've got a little too much invested in what he thinks about what's happening with that football team because of the tremendous career he's had there. I think at some point you've got to move on from that, and that succession plan.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, I did read today Diana Rossini, 3 career wins on this show, said that some people are talking about Tyrod Taylor maybe being a better option for this team right now. Jackie Mack, do you want to get a last word in?
Yeah, just remember this, guys. Phillip Rivers has always been a gambler. This is like not a new part of his personality. Yeah. In 2016, he threw 21 picks. Yeah. Okay? And then Anthony Lynn came in and said, let's calm that down a little bit. So it's not like this is breaking news. It's not because he's getting old. It's just because he takes big chances.
That 2016 season may have been one outlier or one of 2 outliers in his career. But okay. We'll move on. Rockets 132, Blazers 108 last night. Houston on an 8-game winning streak, and Harden has scored 35 or more in all those games. And this has got the attention of his teammate, Russell Westbrook. He says, this is not normal. Don't normalize the greatness of James Harden. Jackie, here I am, and you're a Rocket queen. After all the moves Houston made this offseason, you're beginning to feel this team may be closer to being the one that could break through?
I think it's possible. I will say this. Russell Westbrook's right about James Harden. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of him just, there's another 40-point game from James Harden. None of us should ever get used to that. What he did last year when he had the 32 consecutive games of 30-plus or more, the only other person that even thinks about doing that is Wilt Chamberlain, and he's 7'2". But here's why I do have hope for this year's Rockets team is about 12 days ago, I looked it up, their defensive rating was last in the NBA. They weren't defending the 3. They weren't defending the paint. In that time, they've now gone up to number 14 in the NBA. They're starting to play defense, and they're starting to guard that perimeter 3. If they do that, they are very much a part of it in the
Israel,
West.
Israel, are you beginning to see this Houston team as a different team?
Maybe. I'm a little bit more confident in the defense, like Jackie said, because the numbers say that. But also, just if you're starting at a point with Russell Westbrook and his athleticism and energy, Clint Capella and P.J. Tucker within your starting 5, you should be able to defend really well. It could be a scheme situation that they've had to go through because early on, people were just walking to the basket against them. But it seems to be things are changing. Offensively, you still got Harden doing what he does with the usage rate and still Russell Westbrook somehow getting a triple-double. I think that is just further proof that they can coexist and maybe play 2 different styles.
Sarah Spain, what are you seeing with this Houston team?
Well, the question is, can they sort of break through? Yeah. This is a team that last year we were looking at its peak before all the injuries as finally figuring things out. So that's number one. Can they stay healthy enough that it doesn't become the Harden show in the way that we saw last year, where they were just clinging to him to do everything? Russell Westbrook, we were really concerned about how his shooting would fit in, how it would affect the efficiency of this team. So far, pretty good, actually. And getting those triple-doubles in service to what Harden does makes this team a little bit more multifaceted. Can they break through when the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, every other team in the West got better? That's still left to be
seen. Well, the question is, did Houston get better? Last year, until Toronto, nobody played Golden State better than Houston did over the last 3 years. What you're seeing from them this year, Clinton Yates, makes you think what?
It makes me think that D'Antoni is doing an incredible job managing simply the egos and the desires of the guys on his team to win. That's what a lot of people were concerned about with Westbrook. Is this guy going to blow up the locker room because he's such a star and his somehow selfish triple doubles are not going to fit in with this system? They've managed that. All right, 36 points per game, Harden's points per game are going down when he's getting that many. They are doing an incredible job managing something that I thought was going to be a huge issue. I'm giving credit to Westbrook here as much as I am to Harden.
Selfish triple doubles for Westbrook. That's like the immovable object versus Harden. Harden, right. The way he eats the ball up, the unstoppable force. The last word for Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, look, if in regard to Russell Westbrook's comment, you can separate sort of James Harden's greatness and his individual performances with, hey, can that win you a title, right? To me, I kind of look at it as Allen Iverson. He's sort of a bigger version of Allen Iverson, marveling at what he does offensively, unstoppable, but will it take you over the top? Two different conversations.
Couple NBA game winners last night. Luka Doncic. Can I say it right now? Bob Ryan's not here. Let me say it. Only the second player under 21 to have a 40-point triple-double. That's ridiculous, Tony! Don't get me started! Your statistics and records, youngest to brush their teeth on a Tuesday afternoon, get out of here! Also Paul George. Hitting game winners now. The Clippers getting a win. Israel, everybody hates the youngest to do this on a Monday stat. But a 42-point triple-double on 20-something. What are we seeing from Doncic?
I don't even care about the age. Just look at his averages. And then go look back at Russell Westbrook's first year averaging that triple-double when we lost our minds and we're like, wow, MVP. And Doncic is doing slightly more efficiently. I don't know how you could argue with this guy being a top-five player and an MVP candidate, right?
At age 20. There we go. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Everyone's going to pile on how amazing Doncic is, and I agree with them. I just want to point out that the changes to the NBA game have resulted in a lot of statistical wins for newer players that are doing things differently. That doesn't mean they're not good. I'm just pointing that out.
Glenn Yates?
Statistical wins. Watch the basketball. This guy's skill set is unbelievable. He's one of the best passers in the league. His step back jumper is sweet, and he's a leader. I am absolutely about Luka in this. He is the future, if not present.
Are you with
NBA.
Israel that this is a top five player and an MVP candidate this year?
I think it might be number five, but you've got to think about him in the MVP discussion at this point if he continues this way. This dude is the truth, and everybody
knows. All right, Jackie, you're the only one here in the Hall of Fame, so make a ruling here. Statistical wins versus a 20-year-old with a skill set the likes of which we've never seen before.
A 20-year-old with a skill set that's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. All the things we were worried about with Doncic, all the so-called experts were, is he in the good enough condition? I think he's answered that question. He's led this team in scoring and assists, Tony, for 9 straight games. Yeah. That's someone that has got his pulse on the team, on the game. These guys are right. He's going to be a generational player.
Israel, the Paul George game winner. He went from never being able to hit one to last year hitting a couple, three, I think, last year. One this year. What does that mean for him as a player in this Clipper system?
Well, first, I find it really funny that he and Kawhi are doing the your turn, my turn thing better than anybody else. They're just playing in different games, not even in the same
yeah,
game.
Exactly.
But I do think that Paul George, look, Paul George, when he said it feels like I've got two new shoulders, my mind went to, wow, when he feels great, he's playing at an MVP level. So put him next to Kawhi, let him feel really good and get him into a rhythm. We're going to talk about this guy as one of the top whatever many players in the league, probably by January.
If you still keep on doing that, Israel, I'm going to have to ask you to name them because you can't have like five guys in your top two
all right,
and three guys in your top
every day,
one.
All right, I'll bring my
all
list.
All right, statistical wins and
what about Giannis,
statistical
dude?
Losses what about Giannis? For some panelists in that one. Buyers, sells on the other side. Stick around.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Every time we have a loss, my mood is bleepy. Who said it? Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper said it. While speaking to reporters, he made it clear he will not accept mediocrity. Clinton Yates, buy or sell an owner saying that, and what does that really mean?
I'm buying every part of this for the chaos element that it is bringing to the Carolina Panthers. You've got an aging franchise quarterback. You've got a guy who does not seem to understand that if you're saying you're not going to make a decision on him, then you are accepting mediocrity and contradicts. And you've got a dude who's bringing the business world into this. This is going to get worse before it gets better for Carolina, for
sure. Sarah Spain?
David Tepper's an interesting guy. There's all sorts of stories around him, including his claim that he invented the phrase, it is what it is. I'm not sure if this is what it is, because on the one hand, he says he won't deal with long-term mediocrity, but he's also preaching patience when it comes to Cam and the coach and GM. So maybe he's making it sound chaotic, but what he really wants to do is take his time.
Wow, that is what it is. A bold claim that he invented the question mark. How about you, Israel?
He's establishing his ownership style here. He's in his second year. It's the first time where he can say something controversial because his team isn't doing very well. And he says this: while your franchise quarterback is on the mend and you don't know what the future is going to be, it's just going to be a lot more meddling in the future. It's going to be fun.
Jackie Mack, how about you?
Yeah, interesting choice of words, interesting timing. I mean, really, isn't their whole franchise dependent on whether they decide to move on from Cam Newton or not, whether Cam Newton is healthy or not for them to continue with him? Everything else to me is extraneous, and yet somehow he's added all this other intrigue that doesn't really exist as far as I can tell.
Does anybody think this is a warning shot to Ron Rivera, if anything? I mean, that he's the only one who's not injured or not a questionable start for them? Okay. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Tua's $25 million question. Should he skip this draft and go top five in 2021? Pete Thamel, Yahoo. Deadline to declare is January 20th. Best case scenario post yesterday's surgery is thought to be about 6 months recovery time, which is after the NFL draft. Sarah, you think Tua should consider not going pro this year like Thamel writes and maybe waiting out a year?
Well, it's unfortunate the timeline is so short because this decision is going to be based on betting on whether he feels like coming back to college football next year, he'll play well enough to work his way back to the top of the draft and make back that $25 million that he probably loses by dropping in the draft. If he's not sure about that, he should probably go pro and get some money in case when he returns, he's not the same player anymore.
Israel Gutierrez?
There's no chance he should play college football again. The idea of him taking a year off to just recover on his own, I think, is okay. But if you're going to say that the prognosis is excellent, like his doctor did, and you're going to have a team or two that's going to be willing to take a chance, then you just can recover with them for a year, if that's the case, if you want to be sort of careful with the injury. But in terms of taking the year off and not making any money, I don't think that's a great idea if he will get drafted high. I think he's still
Jackie Mack.
Yeah, so we're all speculating here where he falls in the draft because he's probably not going to play another football game before that draft happens. If I were him, I would just play this out. I would declare myself because there's always one team that's lying in wait, maybe a late first-round pick. That might be the best possible scenario you could have ever dreamed of because they're going to take a chance on you going forward.
Yates.
I thought the decision to play him was questionable at best, and I think if you're thinking about conflicts of interest, they do not, and that being Alabama, necessarily have his best interest in mind. If you're Tua, think about what's going forward for you, not just for that team in this case, and that to me means leaving and rehabbing on your own.
Buy or sell three. Caps Ducks last night. A lot going on here. A goal that turned into a melee behind the net. Hathaway and Gudbranson. A punch by Gudbranson while Hathaway's being held by the ref. Hathaway spitting on Gudbranson. Gudbranson reacting like it was hydrochloric acid. Spit came out of my mouth after I was sucker punched, Hathaway said. The spit is a match penalty. The punch is a 10-minute misconduct. Izzy, are you with the NHL here that a spit is worse than what was called a sucker punch?
Well, now that I look at it a million times over, I'm wondering if it was a sucker punch because he was looking right at him as he punched him. I understand his arms were being held, but still. Look, I'm not a fan of the spit. I do think that is more insulting than anything else you can do on there, but he's a mighty duck. I thought it's supposed to roll off his back.
Mullen?
Wait, you buried the lead there yesterday. Oh, wait, maybe it was a sucker. Oh, wait, his arms were being held. Yeah, his arms were being held. That's why it's a sucker punch. Are you kidding me? Both of these dudes should be suspended a game. Not just the guy that spit, but the guy that took the very, very cheap shot. Throw them both out for one game. There's no place for this in hockey.
It was a no-look punch as much as it was a sucker punch, which was the best part about that. And it's the referee's job to separate them. But again, ancient African proverb, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. If you start throwing punches during the middle of goals being scored, you're probably going to get your head knocked.
Oh, wait. So this is interesting because you made the argument 3 days ago, provocation matters, and you're saying whoever started
this.
But the idea here
in
this sport that needs to be looking at head trauma, that a sucker punch is not as bad as spit, Sarah Spade.
Right.
Clinton said it's the referee's job to separate them, which he did. And it's in the rules that they then have to stop fighting once the referee has separated them. So, yes, that is a sucker punch. His hands are being held and the fight is over. It is as bad as
they
spit. I get that we are okay with fighting in hockey, but I'd much rather get spit on than punched in the face.
I don't know. I mean, the referee did separate. Could have done a better job of separating
them. And a lick is worth zero games. So I don't understand anything.
That'll be the last point. With the last point that it's better to get spit on than punch in the face is going to be the last word. Spain Gutierrez showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sarah Spade, Israel Gutierrez, good luck in showdown. You know what tonight is. Carmelo Anthony night. This is a perfect opportunity. He'll wear 0-0 and had plenty of thoughts on that. Sarah Spade, how perfect is this perfect opportunity?
It's perfect because he's back in the league. It's perfect because the Blazers are already struggling, so if they get better, he'll get credit for it, I guess.
Any opportunity is the perfect opportunity, but he said in a post, he said it'll only work if all parties see it the same way. That means Carmelo's gonna go out there and be Melo and the Blazers are just gonna
That's
have to
like
be.
It is what it is. He just came up with it is what it is in a different way. Point Israel Gutierrez, showdown two. Patriots need help, according to Jackie McMullen in yesterday's FaceTime. Well, today Antonio Brown apologized. And look at the likes. Brady Gilmore, Hall of Famer Julian Edelman. Also on the Patriots front, Gronk not coming back this year, told Mike Reese maybe next year or the year after. Israel, what piece of news struck you?
Well, Antonio Brown's entire Twitter feed is nonsensical, so I go to Rob Gronkowski for something that makes sense. And of course I can believe he'll be back next year. Everybody believed it.
Gronk is being smart. He saw what happened to Kyrie. Don't make any guarantees either way. Keep everything open and focus on a party during the Super Bowl.
Israel Gutierrez, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
What?
Well, thank you, Tony. And if you haven't seen it yet, the Milwaukee Bucks released their alternative City Edition jersey, and it just says Cream City, which I had no idea Milwaukee was the Cream City, so I looked it up. The bricks that are built in that city are mostly in that same color, cream, and it comes from the soil in the Menominee River Valley. Menominee. And so all the colors in there, yeah, that's kind of cool, right? Yeah, Cream City. It doesn't look bad. It's way better than, like, the Beige City or the Off-White City or Taupe City. I mean, I can deal with Cream City. It's not that bad. You can have your jokes. It just doesn't look
Eggshell City.
It's like the color behind you anyway.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's better than what the Mavs are doing with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Bone
we'll see you tomorrow.